You are probably going to want a pen and paper for today's episode. So it's only three tips, but I have a feeling I usually record this little intro here after I record my episode because I really want to be fresh in what I'm telling you is coming, because sometimes I take a little bit of a rabbit trail and I go a little off of my notes. Today was one of those days, but it was good. It was rich. It was rich. I love today's episode, and I'm telling you, March is going to be like killer because I have so many great things coming up that I want to share. So grab your pen and paper. Hey, if you want to go out on a walk, you know I'm all about that. You can always write things down later, get on your shoes, go do it. But otherwise, grab your pen and paper, grab you some coffee, curl up, and let's talk about this phenomenal subject today. We're going to get into the three tips to get better results from your workouts faster. Faster is the key. You ready? Here we go. Welcome to the Age in Reverse podcast, where we talk about how to boost energy, joy, and fun over 40, all through a faith-forward perspective. I'm Lisa Arundel, aka Lisa Lou Fitness, your dancing BFF. I'm a dancer, a lover of Jesus and coffee, a high-performance health coach, and an integrative health and fitness expert of over 31 years. After being diagnosed with autoimmune disease, congenital heart defects, degenerative disc disease, major knee issues, and more, all in my 20s, I finally decided to take back control of my health. Now, in my 50s, I have more energy than I ever did in my 20s, and I'm here to show you how to experience the same thing. If you want to remain independent, build your faith, and enjoy more energy, joy, and fun in your life, you are in the right place. Let's challenge the status quo on aging and make Act 2 our best years yet. Hey, I just had to take a second and share a client testimonial with you real quick. So first of all, after the first week of my Faith Forward Age Backward program, after this round that we're in right now, so at the recording of this, we're going into week three. After week one, the measurements that came in was 3 pounds down and 3 inches lost per person. That was the average, okay? Just absolutely incredible. These ladies are so jazzed, and I'm so proud of every single one of them. But I had to share with you one of the testimonials that came in yesterday from a dear client named Deanna. She said, I was doing some chores yesterday, and I realized I had been doing something holding a squat position for a while. No knee pain, not falling over like it was nothing. Definitely not something I could have done 2 weeks ago, and I think the addition of the mobility training to the other big players was a big part. I think she's talking about the other big players being the other exercise modalities. Again, turns out this Lisa lady knows what she's talking about. She's so fun. I love Deanna. But how amazing is that? She was holding a squat position and realized she didn't have any pain. I'm telling you, mobility conditioning is everything. And that's just one of the things that I offer in my Faith Forward Age Backward program. And I lay all these modalities out for you, plus your nutrition. We talk about how to age brainy, like how do we keep and maintain, you know, our cognitive function. We talk about stress and hormones and all the things that I mentioned. And if you want to get in on our next round, I don't want you to miss out, but you need to get on the wait list, lisaloufitness.com/waitlist. It's also down in the show notes. All right, just a little drive-by. I had to share that with you. It just made me smile. So I know what it's like to be on the go and to not have anything to eat. And then what happens? There's a temptation to go through the drive-thru because you're just so stinking hungry. So I'm a really big believer of eating whole foods and eating actual meals instead of snacking your way throughout the day. However, life happens and sometimes we're not around a meal at mealtime. So I have not promoted a nutrition bar in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think, when is the last time I promoted any kind of nutrition bar? It's been a long time because so many of them on the market are glorified candy bars. They are nutrient free, not nutrient rich. So I found one that I feel so good about putting my name behind, and I'm really excited for you to try. It's by Paleo Valley, and it is their superfood bar. So it's made with certified organic antioxidant-rich superfoods. It is made with 100% grass-fed bone broth protein. It's grain-free. It's gluten-free. It's soy-free. It's non-GMO. It has healthy fats, proteins, and vital nutrients. Let me read a few of the ingredients to you beyond the bone broth and everything that I just mentioned. So it has pink Himalayan sea salt, ginger, by the way, these are all organic, turmeric, acerola cherry, spirulina, blueberries, broccoli, spinach, kale, pumpkin seeds. Can you see the superfoods here? And here's what's crazy. It tastes really, really good. The red velvet, by the way, is my absolute favorite. So you can go get a discount at lisaloufitness.com/superfood. That's lisaloufitness.com/superfood. I want you to go get it. It actually comes in four different flavors, so you get what floats your boat. It has red velvet, lemon meringue, dark chocolate chip, and apple cinnamon. I'm just putting a little extra emphasis on the red velvet. It is just so good. One of my favorites, but go try them out. You can't go wrong with any of these. lisaloufitness.com/superfood to get your discount. All right, before we kick it off, I have to give you a little personal update. So I told you last Tuesday that we have a home renovation that we're having to begin March 9th. And I say having to because this is not by choice. As I explained, we're up on pier and beam, and the beams are rotten underneath our bedroom and bathroom. And our bathtub has fallen an inch. Our walls in our bedroom are separating. The tile in our bathroom is cracked and kind of caving in a few places. Like, it's kind of an emergency, sort of. And we're not on the ground yet, but my husband's like, Lisa, it's just a matter of time before you're taking a bath and you're just on the ground. It was like, we've got to get this done. But we kept having to put this project off because of his injury. He's doing most of the demo and he's doing most of the reconstruction. But we just heard from the guy a few days ago coming to do this project, and he said, I may not be out March 9th. I'm really not sure when I'm going to begin now because one of my workers is not showing up. So just pray with me that this goes through in a timely manner, because we're just really living in limbo and it's just kind of stressful. We need to be in the guest room soon, but you know, we're just, anyway, it's first world problems. I understand. At the same time, it's just kind of a little extra layer of stress, especially with Randy and I both working from home. And, you know, Layla does dual enrollment, but she's in her senior year and she's still homeschooling. So she's here a lot. It's just a little chaotic. That's just a little update. Wanted to start there. And now we can move on. I've got, you know, I feel like I always say a really fun topic, but I feel like they're all really fun topics. It's why I podcast, because I love these topics because I'm passionate about them. And even more than that, I'm passionate about helping you understand and navigating this over 40 life so that we can get the most out of it that we can, so that Act Two, these next years, can truly be our best years. I believe that with everything inside of me, that they can be if we're intentional. So if you missed last week's episode, it was number 96. You need to be sure and go and listen to it, especially if you are someone who does not like to work out. I was speaking to you and I gave you just something to really think about and consider. And what I found was it really did what I wanted it to do, which is bring you a great sense of relief if you're not somebody who loves to exercise. So be sure, go back, listen to episode 96, because what I told you at the end of that episode was today I was going to help you, especially if you're somebody who does not like to exercise, I was going to help you get results faster from your workouts, meaning you don't have to work out as long to get great results, maybe, or as long as you think you do. Okay, so that's just a little tiny sliver of a recap from last week. So what we're going to get into today, I mean, like right into it, is we're going to talk about habit stacking. Habit stacking is something I'm super passionate about. I heard the term habit stacking for the first time reading the book Atomic Habits, and I love it so much because it really helps you understand how do I, in any area of your life, not just exercise, but in any area of my life, how do I layer in habits that are going to get me to my result and my goal in a more efficient way. And so that's what I want to help you today to navigate, understanding how can I put in different workout modalities without like working out all day every day, especially if you're somebody who doesn't enjoy it. Like, gross, right? Who wants to do that? Okay, so we're going to be talking about habit stacking by stacking some of those modalities, like I mentioned, that you want to do. What are some of those modalities? We're going to get into these a little more specifically, but strength training, mobility, cardio, sit training, and jump training. And if you're thinking, never heard of the last two, don't worry. I got you. I'm going to give you a little definition of all of them, okay? But I want to help you get the minimal effective dose. So I talked about this last week on episode 96, but I mentioned that that's me. I want the minimal effective dose. What that basically means is that I'm going to get out of this the most results I can in the shortest period of time. Like, what do I have to do to get the maximum results in the shortest period of time? Because although I'm not someone who detests exercise, I don't necessarily love like being in pain, right? And so when you're building muscles, it's not really painful, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to lift this weight and this is so amazing that it's really heavy and I can barely lift one more rep. It's the results that I love. And so what I explained is that you can learn to fall in love with the results, even if maybe you don't necessarily love the process. But I do love to move my body. And because I love the results so much, I have been consistently exercising for 35 years and very specifically strength training for 35 years. So I've gained such an appreciation of this practice, which is one of the modalities we'll talk about here in just a moment. But I've gained such an appreciation because I've seen what it does for my body, which makes me not somebody I can't say, oh, I don't like to exercise at all. But like I mentioned last week, if you're like, do you like to exercise? My answer would be like, I don't necessarily love the act of working out. What I love is how I feel afterwards. So it's easy for me to be like, yeah, I love to exercise, but do I actually love exercising, right? So anyway, the whole point was it's okay if you don't love it. The goal is to do it consistently. And especially if you don't love it, really be smart about how you stack those different modalities that you want in order to age well, to feel great, to have strong bones and muscles and all the things. Okay, so let's go ahead and just go over some of those modalities that you want to be part of your life as an over 40 gal. All right. So first of all, strength training. So strength training keeps your muscles and your bones strong. It helps you age independently. It helps transform your body composition. It helps your posture, your balance, and so much more. Strength training, this is what I tell my clients. It is a non-negotiable if you want to age well. It's not, do you want to strength train? It's like, no, do you want to age well? If the answer is yes, then the bottom line is you must strength train. You must. Okay. I will be doing a whole episode eventually on some very specifics about strength training, but that's not what we're here for today. Okay, so strength training, let me mention that. Number two is mobility. This enables the fluidity of your movements. If you do not incorporate mobility conditioning, you will likely suffer from stiff joints, back pain, knee pain, hip pain, neck pain, ankle pain, and so much more. Does that sound familiar? Do you know anybody who deals with that? Is that you? Do you know anybody who deals with it now that didn't maybe 10 years ago or not as much? It's because we lose mobility because we are not working mobility. We are not doing mobility conditioning of any kind. So again, it's a no-brainer over the age of 40 if you want to age well. All right, so that's two different modalities we've talked about. Number three, cardio. So the good news is that you don't need a ton of just straight up cardio to get a lot of benefit. So due to many of the other modalities that we're incorporating over 40 that you're incorporating with me, if you work with me in my Faith Forward Age Backward program over 40, you are working your heart rate through your heart throughout, okay? So if you're doing all of these different modalities, then a few brisk walks a week is ample. So zone two training has a lot of benefits. We've done episodes on zone two before, but basically your zone two is like a really brisk walk or a slow jog, or you know, you're swimming, or you are biking at a moderate pace, right? So zone two is like a level 5 out of 10 perceived exertion. It's like you can talk, but you don't necessarily want to talk. So your heart rate's not skyrocketing and it's something you can do for long periods of time. But 20 minutes a few times a week is, you know, even 2 to 3 times a week, if you are putting in these other modalities, it's enough. You don't have to do it every single day. You can, but it's not something you have to do for a conditioned heart. Okay. So I hope that gives you some relief right there. And like, oh, I don't have to be spending all this time. Do not get me wrong. I love me a good walk. But if you're doing it because you enjoy it or you're doing it because you have to do it, that's two very different things. So it has lots of benefits. Zone 2 does, including reduced risk of mortality, all-cause mortality, heart health, improved blood sugar, improved blood pressure, decreased incidence of depression, and so much more. Okay, so that's our third modality we've talked about, and I'm not done yet. SIT training. Have you ever heard of this? SIT stands for sprint interval training, and it can be done in so many different ways. When you think sprint, you think running. That's certainly one way, but it can be done doing a lot of different things. Number one, kettlebell swings. If you're lifting a kettlebell, I'm not talking about a 5-pound kettlebell. I'm talking about a kettlebell that you know, the weight challenges you. You can do kettlebell swings, quick bursts on a bike, a treadmill, a sprint, you know, across your yard, a rowing machine. Basically, anything that gets you into zone 5, which is your maximal heart rate for 20 to 30 seconds, followed by rest. So it is important to work up to this. I never have a beginner start with this. So I wouldn't take a client who's a brand new beginner and like put them, you know, on a recumbent bike and be like, okay, pedal as fast as you can for 20 to 30 seconds. I wouldn't do that. We do want to condition our bodies to get here and our hearts to get here, but it doesn't take long, especially if you're consistent with some of these other modalities. So anyway, so that is SIT training, okay? I think I'm going to do another episode completely dedicated to this and the next one as well, which is jump training. So this is modality number 5. Did you know that all 5 of these modalities are crucial over the age of 40? Did you know that? Not just like, yeah, these are good, like maybe pick and choose a couple. No, ultimately, you want to be doing all of these, if at all humanly possible. And if not, there's things you can do to modify to get a similar benefit. But that's too much for what we're talking about today. Let me talk about jump training. This is another modality you don't want to jump right into. Okay, pun intended there. It's important to make sure that muscles, tendons, and ligaments are ready for impact, because it is what it sounds like. You are jumping, okay? We need to be prepared for that shock. So this can be modified for beginners by reducing the impact and absorbing that shock. So just for a minute, picture with me like a jump squat, okay? You probably know what that is. Basically, your feet are about shoulder width apart. You jump up in the air, and then you kind of go down into a squat, and then you go right back into that jump. So you can do that very high intensity. You can do that and leave the ground, like really jump, or you can barely leave the ground, come down on your tippy toes and then down to your heels to where there's so little impact, and you don't even have to squat all the way down. That's also a jump squat. It's just modified for somebody who isn't prepared for that impact. So that's what I mean. When you hear these things, the tendency is to freak out and be like, oh, there's no way I'd break every bone in my body, would you? I'm going to take a little bit of a rabbit. No, gosh, I have a rabbit hole. I really want to go down here. I'm doing it. I'm going down the rabbit hole. You ready? Okay, here we go. Because I'm not done talking about jump training. But while we're here, taking it easy as you get older, taking it easier as you get older is the opposite of what you're supposed to do, okay? So if you're thinking, oh, I'm getting older, now I need to take it easy so I don't hurt myself. Actually, the easier you take it, the more likely you are to hurt yourself. I want to say that again. The easier you take it, the more likely you are to hurt yourself, because it's just a matter of time before you trip over your cat, you fall down a flight of stairs, hopefully not a flight of stairs, right? But I mean, injuries are, they're going to happen, right? You're going to bump into something. You're going to trip over something. I mean, that's really just kind of, now how able is your body to recover? How able is your body to catch you instead of falling on the ground? How quick are your reflexes and your feet, and how conditioned are your fast twitch muscle fibers to be able to catch you before you actually fall? We can all trip, but we don't all have to fall. And those of us who do fall, how likely are you not to break something because you have conditioned your bones, your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments to be able to bounce back quickly? This is what I want to help you get your head around, and I'm going to go deeper in this in a future podcast because I'm so flipping passionate about this. Quit taking it easy, mama. Be smart and progress into these other modalities, but don't be so afraid of them that you tiptoe around getting more intense with your exercise at the risk of losing your mobility, of losing your ability to catch yourself, of losing that speed of action that we just lose as we get older because we don't train it, because we're afraid that we're going to get hurt, right? And we're not moving as much and we're sitting more and all the things. Okay, that was my little rabbit hole. Back to jump training. All right. So as I mentioned, it can be modified even for the beginner by not actually leaving the ground very much and really absorbing the shock, but it's always a good idea to work your way into this because you want to make sure bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments are prepared for that shock. But this modality, this jump training and sit training, do you know the older we get, the more important it is that we're implementing these things. If we want all the benefits from estrogen, so, you know, before perimenopause, estrogen, you know, it's doing so much for our body, like helping us build muscle, like helping us keep muscle and on. But when that estrogen starts to decline in perimenopause and when it almost completely leaves the body postmenopause, we have to do things that elicit a similar response that estrogen did in its absence. And jump training does that. How cool is that? It's a secret weapon that too many women are not utilizing. It's also going to help keep the agility, as I mentioned, that we lose if we don't incorporate fast twitch muscle fiber training. What do I mean by fast twitch? Well, think about going for a zone 2 walk for an hour. Could you do that for an hour? No problem. Yes. Like it's not super intense. It's just a brisk walk. You could do that, right? No problem. That's called slow twitch muscle fibers that you need to be able to go on those distance things that don't keep your heart rate really high. Fast twitch are explosive. A sprint would be using more fast twitch fibers, but jump training, you're actually lifting your weight. So there's even resistance there. That is really those fast twitch, you know, fibers that we want to do. When I was, you know, at the height of my shuffle dancing, which I don't do a whole lot on social media anymore, but I still love shuffle dancing. The thing about shuffling is it's very, very quick feet. And women would just like be blown away. How do you move your feet so fast? How do you move it? Well, part of it is coordination. Part of it is having some rhythm and some danceability. But the reason the quickness is there is because I train my fast twitch muscle fibers. So of course, somebody who doesn't train fast twitch muscle fibers and they're only doing endurance types of activity, these long cardio bouts of activity, they're not training those fast twitch. So they're going to have an even harder time with something like that. And you may have no desire to shuffle dance, but my point is for everybody that I made a moment ago, what about when you go to trip over something and you need to catch yourself real fast? I did it the other day coming down in between my kitchen and our downstairs. We have a dog gate and that dog gate comes up, the bottom of it comes up maybe an inch, maybe 2 inches, but not probably that much, maybe just an inch. And if I'm not watching where I'm going, my foot can catch going down the stairs. Well, sure enough, the other day, my foot caught. Think about this. The first step down is a good, I don't know, 6 inches down. And then the next one, maybe it's 4 inches. I'm the worst with that kind of thing. But I caught myself very quickly. That could have been so ugly. It's only 3 steps down, but that would have hurt like Hades. But because I trained those fast twitch fibers, I was able to catch myself. Do you see how important this is as we get older? Okay, but we're really not here to talk about jump training. I just really had to drive that home. Let's get back to habit stacking. Because what I'm not going to tell you how to do is habit stack all those things because I haven't really fully explained sit and jump enough. And 90% of you listening right now probably aren't prepared for those. So I want to take the 3 modalities that really anybody listening right now probably could jump right into, which is your mobility, your strength training, and your cardio. Okay. Because you're probably thinking, okay, all those things that you just said, how is it even possible to incorporate all of that quickly and efficiently? Well, it is. It's absolutely possible. But even my most advanced clients that I have doing all of those modalities, do you know the longest they're ever working out is 45 minutes? I personally am rarely in the gym an hour. Like typically my sweet spot is between 30 and 45 minutes, and I'm getting in every single modality that I just told you, not all at once, but even when I'm fitting in several, I'm just rarely ever there, even an hour. Sometimes I wish I was there a little bit longer because there's different people that I want to, you know, maybe hang out and talk with a little bit, but I'm also there to get my workout in, and I'm able to do that real efficiently. By the way, if you're interested in learning more about what I'm telling you and you need some help, my Faith Forward Age Backward program, this is one of the many things I do in there. So this is the over 40 Rocking Act 2 guidance, where literally everything is laid out for you from nutrition that you need to be tweaking now that you're over 40 to all of those workout modalities that I just talked about, incorporated and easily laid out, hormonal balance, stress management, and more. I want you to go to lisaloufitness.com/waitlist. It's also down in the show notes. So you can click there or just go right there, lisaloufitness.com/waitlist. To get on the wait list for our next round. I would love to work with you and help you with all these things. Okay, so for our purposes here today, we're going to talk about three things to habit stack, okay? Because I told you, three things that we can do here to make sure we're not spending tons of time working out, but we're getting results. So the very first one I'm going to focus on is mobility. So mobility conditioning, there's YouTube University. You can go to YouTube and you can find a mobility program there that you like. But it's really important, especially if you're a beginner or you don't have mobility exercises that you know how to do. But what I do with my clients, I have mobility exercises in their app for them. And I tell them to use this as their warm-up. So here's the great thing. Hopefully I've convinced you need to be doing mobility conditioning as you age. Use it as your warm-up before your strength training. You have to warm up anyway. Oh my goodness, it's even more important over 40, right? You have to warm up. Well, if you can get your heart rate up and go through some mobility conditioning before you strength train, you're killing two birds with one stone. By the way, mobility is different than just flexibility training. We don't go into a position and hold for 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds. It's a little bit more fluid than that. You don't want to do static movements or a static exercise before you go and strength train. Research has actually shown it's worse for your muscles and it can lead to more injury. So a dynamic stretch, which means movement within a stretch, or something like mobility where you're holding for a few seconds, but you're not holding for a long period of time and you're kind of moving from one movement to the next, it's a fantastic way to work out. And 5 to 10 minutes is usually more than sufficient and is really going to help move your mobility along. But hello, bonus, it's your warm-up. Okay, step number two is strength training. Contrary to popular belief, the longer you lift, the better is a misnomer, especially as we age. Too many sets can create a cortisol spike, ladies, that is hard to recover from. So if I want to go and lift for an hour or an hour and a half, now if I've got really long rest periods, well, that's fine. Or if I'm visiting between sets, that's fine. But if I'm there for an hour and I'm resting 1 to 3 minutes between sets and I just keep doing set after set after set, you know, whatever I'm working, legs, upper body, total body, it's a lot of stress on the body. So you really don't need more than 20 to 30 minutes at a time. The longest I'm ever strength training is 30 minutes. And that is only when I need more recovery between sets because I'm lifting heavier. Okay. So you don't need a long time of strength training. So let's say you're here, you're a little new to strength training and you're like, okay, I'm going to start a little easy. I'm going to do 3 days a week, I'm going to do 5 sets total, and I'm going to be done in 20 minutes. Boom. You are going to be doing so much good for your body by not pushing. We're not talking lightweights. I'm going to do a whole other episode on this because we're not talking lightweights here. Ladies, quit lifting lightweight. But what does heavyweight mean? And how do you lift heavyweight without hurting yourself? There's a whole thing. So I'll be doing an episode on this coming up as well. I think I'm just going to take the month of March just to go through all of this because I really have so much to say about all of this. But for today, what I want you to understand is that your strength training does not have to take you a grand amount of time if you're lifting correctly, which is exactly what I show my clients. So again, we get the minimal effective dose. We get the maximum results in the minimum amount of time. Okay, step three, cardio. Okay, so we talked about mobility. That's your warm-up to your strength training, but where do you put your cardio? So you can do this on non-strength training days, of course, but if you put it on your strength training days, what's so cool is that your body's already super warm, so you go straight from strength to maybe a zone 2 20-minute walk, and you're done. You don't want to put your cardio before your strength training, by the way, because you want your muscles to be fresh. You want that energy output to be at its maximal capacity. And if you wear your body down through cardio first, then you go strength train, you're just not going to be able to have the same level of performance. So if you're going to do cardio on the same day you strength train, just do it afterwards, okay? So this is a great time to jump on a treadmill or jump on a bike or go for a walk outside and hit that zone 2. So again, you're not, and really for zone 2, there's typically, you don't necessarily need to warm up. I mean, it's always a good idea to maybe walk a little slowly and then pick it up, but zone 2 is not this like, you know, you're not running. You can slow jog, but you're not running. So as much of a warm up as you would do for a slow jog, you could do that. But let's say right after strength training, your body is crazy warm. So you can just go, right? You can just get on a bike and kick it at zone 2 or a rower or go for a walk or whatever. So if you did that, then you have layered on 3 modalities. So your mobility would be, let's say 5 minutes, your strength training, let's say 20 minutes, and then let's say your zone 2, another 20 minutes, that's 45 minutes. What if you did that 3 times a week? Holy cow, that's phenomenal. Again, you don't have to do that. You can get in and out in 25 minutes with your mobility and your strength and put your zone 2 on other days. But the point is, I want to reduce the overwhelm. I feel like so many times women stop before they start because they just have this eat the whole elephant at one time mentality, and it's so overwhelming that we just don't begin. But hopefully today is helping you understand, you know what? It really didn't have to take me that long at all. And I could fit in 3 modalities in 45 minutes or less if I wanted to, 3 days a week, and I'm going to be crushing it, absolutely crushing it. Okay, so you may be listening and be like, so what do I do on the other days? I just like lay on the couch? No, nobody's asking that. Nobody here is asking that, right? But let's talk about your steps for just a moment, because there is never a day off of steps. There should never be a day off of quote steps. So when I say steps, I'm talking, I mean, everybody probably listening to this knows about getting in your steps, even whether you do it or not. You probably know that it's important to get in steps. Why? What is the magic behind what we've heard about 10,000 steps or whatever? Actually, there's a ton of research at 7,000 steps. 7,000 steps has reduced risk of all-cause mortality, and then going up from there is great, but 7,000 as a minimum is wonderful. However, let's say you take your baseline. Let's say we're working together, and this is what I have my girls do. I'll say, just take a few days without doing anything outside of your norm and just see, where are your steps? Where are they? They may be at 1,000. They may be at 3,000. They may be at 10,000. Who knows? But until you have a baseline, you don't know how to move up. So whatever your baseline is, look at moving those steps up by about between 100 and 500 a week. That keeps you from being overwhelmed. But my point here is, steps are every day. The beauty of steps is that it has you moving throughout the day. So I could say, okay, go for an hour and a half walk and get in all of your steps right now, and then you're sitting the rest of the day. How beneficial do you think that's going to be? Actually, not very at all. That is worse than taking small steps throughout the day. Going for a long walk, I want to say that again, and getting all your steps in at once and then not moving for the rest of the day is far worse than getting those steps in throughout the day. You want to move throughout the day. So if you're getting those steps in from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, then your body is in motion, which also helps with mobility. Does that make sense? And a little extra habit stacking on this, which I've spent a whole episode talking about in the past, one of the ways to get your steps in and to start getting, you know, toward your step goal during the day is to have your walk and talk with Jesus first thing in the morning. If you don't have a quiet time, I highly recommend it. My quiet time is first thing in the morning. But what's beautiful is that I'm able to, so I just walk around my house. If it's great weather outside, I'll walk around my backyard with my slippers and my pajama pants on, okay? Like, I have no shame. I mean, it's just movement. I'm not even getting in a zone too. For me, that's not the point. I love to walk and talk with Jesus, moving my body. Like even right now as I'm podcasting, I'm standing up, I'm kind of stepping side to side. When you move your body, it actually helps your brain connect a little bit better and the creativity flows better, ideas flow better. There's a lot of research behind this. So when I'm in motion and I'm talking to the Lord, there's just this sweet intimacy there. Plus, I'm also getting movement in after my body has been laying still for 8 hours at night, right? So I don't want to get up and then just go sit down again. Moving is great, and I'm getting some of my steps in. So it's a big win. It's a big win. Okay, so to recap, if you're doing 5 minutes of mobility for your warm-up, 20 minutes of strength training, and another 20 minutes of zone two cardio, you're done in 45 minutes. I really, really hope that helps. And then steps are every day. Okay. So if you're working with me, I would set you up a little bit differently, but I would only set you up a little bit differently simply because I would be helping you understand more about sit and jump. But if you're a very new beginner, this is a great place to start. Okay. Great place to start. All right. Another pro tip is that I personally alternate sit and jump training after my strength training workouts. So any zone two I do, typically it's more of a recovery day for me because it's not a lot of exertion, and I'll typically even do it in my backyard as I'm on a Zoom call or as I'm, you know, voxing one of my team members. I'll get some of it in then, but I will do my sit and my jump training after my strength training. And by the way, sit is 10 minutes and jump is between 45 seconds and 10 minutes, depending on your activity level. My point in telling you that is even when you get to those levels, it doesn't add a whole lot of extra time. It's really, really cool. Habit stacking, my friend, is a game changer, a game changer. And so I will be doing an episode soon talking about why your strength training is not yielding the results that you're after, what and why you should be using sit and jump training over 40 if you want to be in the best shape of your life and more. So just hang with me. I think the month of March is going to be just killer because I got a lot of good stuff coming. Bottom line, longer workouts are not best over 40, but intensity is key for short bouts to keep strength, agility, mobility, and to age youthfully. Intensity for short bouts. We're not talking hour long Orange Theory, friends. That's not what we're talking about, okay? So I hope this helped you. I hope you're inspired and you're like, okay, I don't love exercise, but I can do this because I can habit stack some of these things without taking hours a day. Amen. None of us have time for that. None of us have time for that. All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. You mean the world to me. I'm always so grateful for your presence, for your support. I love reading your reviews on Apple Podcasts. I read them out loud to my husband. I'm like, oh, listen to this one. This is incredible. It helps me to know that I'm serving you. It also helps me get my word out. So thank you so much again, and I will see you on this Friday's episode, our Faith Forward Friday episode of Age in Reverse. Have a good rest of your week, and I'll see you then. Hey, thank you so much for being here with me today. And depending on which platform you're listening on, be sure you're either following or subscribe so that the latest episodes are really easy to find. And if you have a moment and you found value here, it would mean everything if you could take just a moment and leave a 5-star review for this podcast so that I can get the message out to more women. Thanks again for being here, and I will see you next time.